You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Jay Hardgrave pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill. Gus will be back tomorrow as Jordan, the intern, will join his normal tag team partner at El Paso Mexican Restaurant, 4560 Highway 1, Raceland, Louisiana. Jordan, you and Gus will be back together. Hopefully they won't be knocking your hat off like they did last time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be sad leaving you, Jay.
You missed him. You miss Gus?
I kind of miss Gus, but I mean...
Wow, are you going to admit that tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll say that I miss Gus, but I mean, I enjoyed having you just as much, maybe a little bit more, just because I don't get, you know, hated on. I don't get hated on whenever I'm talking with you.
I don't know if I would admit that to Gus if I was you. Yeah, I'm just giving you professional advice here.
I'll probably mention it to him tomorrow.
My best advice, I told you this early in the show. My best advice is go in the offense. Okay, last time they had a giveaway, they were giving away tickets to Blue Bayou or something. What was it? Blue Bayou?
Yeah, Blue Bayou.
And Gus said, if you come in and knock Jordan's hat off.
Yeah.
And you had women coming in and knocking
your
hat off.
Yeah, one person came in there and really almost gave me a concussion.
Well, then be on the aggressive tomorrow.
Yeah.
Make sure you do something that Gus gets. So you have to be aggressive tomorrow. If you all have anything to do, you got to be. It's like they say in football. You never want to be the coach that breaks out the trick play after the other coach brought out his trick play.
Well,
you have to come up with something tomorrow. You have to be creative.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to catch up with Gus because his beloved Patrick Mahomes lost over the weekend. So I'm going to have to bring up that tomorrow.
His beloved Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield lost.
Got his you-know-what handed to him last night. Sorry, Joey.
Maybe his fantasy football team lost. I finally got a win in
you
fantasy.
You won. You said you needed Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I needed Jimmy Garoppolo. He's the savior of the team. I mean, getting my first win. I mean, I had to make it easy on the league because if I would have started off strong, there would have been talks of me rigging it. So I had to start off 0-4 and then – once the right time came, I just got to kick it into high gear and just take all the glory.
Is that your story and that's what you're sticking with?
That's the strategy.
That's what you're sticking with. You know, you couldn't come up with anything else better than that.
No, I had to give y'all a chance.
You had to give us a chance.
Yes, I had to let build up a lead. And some of y'all didn't take advantage of that. So I think there's – it's the only person is 4 – I think there's one person that's 4-1.
I'm taken back because I don't think I've ever seen anyone who was 0-4 in a fantasy league.
1-4. 1-4 now.
0-4 before this.
1-4 now.
0-4 and be this cocky that I'm going to come back and win the league.
I'm going to have to write an article about this today and put it up on our fantasy website.
So let me get this straight. So you won one game. And now you're going to be the guy who's doing the fantasy segment of giving people advice of who to start and who to sit.
Yeah. I won. Hey, there's a reason why I sat Will Fuller on the bench. He had 55 points in our league. And I knew that he was going to put up, but I wanted to make it a competitive game. I had to make it close. I had to make it a nail biter so people kept checking the fantasy page. Only won by 8 points, but you know, a win's a win. And I made it close for everybody. I just made it a nail biter.
Wait a minute. You just said you had Will Fuller from the Houston Texans who had like 6 touchdowns and 150 fantasy points, and you sat him on the bench.
Yeah, because I knew he was going to go off, and I didn't want to make it.
And you're proud of that and trying to make us believe that you did that. You left him on the bench.
Oh, I did that 100% on purpose. I knew I was going to have a big game. If I would have played him, the game wouldn't have been close. And it just wouldn't have been a fun. It wouldn't have been a fun competition. I don't want to be the guy that blows out everybody. I want people to feel like they could actually beat me. But at the last second, you know what? I come in and I just take the win from them.
I'm just going out on the limb. You've never had an offer to be a general manager of a real like the New Orleans Pelicans or the New Orleans Saints.
But
or
I am
the Houston Texans. You've never had an offer like that.
I'm the commissioner
from a real team.
Of the ESPN Radio New Orleans Fantasy Football League, so that counts.
You've arrived.
I've arrived, and I'm coming. I'm coming fast. Look out, I'm going on a win streak.
Joey, I'm just going to ask you to make sure you've got this on tape so when Jordan doesn't win the league, we can play this back sometime in December.
Over and over and over and over.
But that won't happen.
That will probably be added into the start of each hour, I think, on the lead-in.
I think it should be a rejoin.
Let's see who I'm playing next. This is going to decide.
How many points did Will Fuller have, really? Seriously.
55.
And you sat him on the bench.
Yeah.
So you could have played Will Fuller and almost won without anybody else scoring a point.
Correct.
But you sat him on the bench intentionally.
I sat him because out of love for my opponent. Love for the game. I don't want the game to be tarnished.
Have you been drinking?
No, I have not been drinking.
Were you drinking when you set your lineup Sunday?
No. I don't drink.
I call for the blood test.
I'm not legal.
Don't even touch
that. Oh, like that stopped everyone in New Orleans.
Don't touch it, Jay.
Like that stopped everyone in New Orleans. So let's go to the phone lines because I got the feeling D wants to talk to you about your fantasy lineup. D, how you doing today, man?
I was doing good, fellas, but Jordan's lying. I mean, come on. You know, nobody does that, all right?
I do it.
He's not that good. No, Jordan, no, okay? If you did that, then I'm the whistleblower for the Ukraine, okay? Come on. That does not happen,
I think
okay?
I'm playing you this
second
week.
Second of all, okay, our little buddy Gus is not in today, and that's a wonderful thing, right? 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 I mean, he says right about 50 times. We should have a drinking game, and you would be drunk in the first half hour of Gus saying, right? Right?
we're gonna tell him about that.
You got to tell him, right?
I mean, right.
Come on.
Right.
You know, he kills you with that. No disrespect, but it's funny.
I tell you what, why don't we do this tomorrow when he comes back? We're not going to say anything about it. And what I'll do is I'm going to have Jordan, every time Gus says right, you, Jordan, need to say, go ahead, D, drink. And then Gus won't know what the hell he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But look, I won't be able to call in after about 10 minutes, you hear?
we'll have him so confused and thrown off his game, though.
We'll have you in Uptown Rule.
Yeah. He's kind of easy at that, but it's all good. Listen, I was calling. Two things I wanted to say, and I didn't get to call last week. One thing I wanted to say was about the way the Saints are playing. You know, we all talking about Teddy Bridgewater playing safe and good and looking great and all, and he has. But man, the main thing is that defense is just looking ridiculous. And if you ask me, that's the main reason why we're winning games. And I'm not throwing Teddy or anybody else under. I mean, there's a lot of contribution. But, man, I didn't think that defense was going to have the pass rush. You know, you seen what you seen last night with the Niners and both of them attacking Cleveland. That's all fun and dandy. But that was both and one other guy. Man, the Saints look like they got four or five guys coming after you on that line. So as good as the Niners look, I think we're even better, don't you think?
Look, I brought that up last week when I saw them stuff Ezekiel Elliott in a Dallas running game. Dallas has the best running game in the NFL, and for the Saints to stand up and stop it, I was taken back that Sheldon Rankins, we have to admit, probably means that much to this defensive line. But last week, this past week, as you talked about, Trey Hendrickson's out and Granderson steps in. We thought this defensive line was going to be our weakness, and now I'm starting to wonder if they're not only our strength. Are they the best defensive line in the NFL?
That line is like 8-9 deep. And I don't mean 8-9 deep with me and you playing. I'm talking 8-9 deep with guys that are bona fide NFL starters in the league. I mean, you know, Mario Edwards, I haven't heard nothing about him, and this guy's a ball player.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the talent is just, you know, when you can shift in two or three different players at a time that can attack the quarterback, that's huge. Because it's not just, let's get up on the line and, okay, we know where Cam Jordan's at. Now let's go from there. No. Where's Cam Jordan? Where's Davis? Where's Hendricks? Where's Davenport? I mean, they're coming at you from all over the place right now, and I'm totally impressed. And if we're going to get to the bowl, that's going to be one of the main reasons we're going to get there, is because of what you see with that pass rush. You know, because, look, Tom Brady can think and dunk you. If you don't give him time up the middle, Tom Brady is as good as me or you quarterbacking. And that's just a true statement.
Yeah, look,
I don't want to – you got me on a rant, but the main reason I wanted to call is because last week, you guys were talking a lot about the paying for play with the college players. And I don't want to get off on anything, but my only solution, because I see there almost is no solution, but my solution would be is, you know, if you're a bona fide player, if you're an 18-year-old kid and you can play, then go to the pros, okay? If you get recruited to go to the college, or these scholarships are one-year basis. If I get you on a scholarship your freshman year, then you come to play for me and you get a free scholarship. Okay? And if at the end of that year you want to leave and go pro, go pro. Go make your money. Go do something with your name or whatever, you know? But if you're looking for money on the college level, I understand they should get something if you're going to hang a kid out to dry for 3 years and he can't use his name. You know what I'm saying? I just think that if you go on both sides and you say, okay, we're giving you a scholarship, and that's awesome, because it's good for the kid to get his education. But some of these kids are it's not about education, it's about getting paid now with who they are and the likeness they are. So you're getting a scholarship, and you're getting to get your name out there playing for this school. Now, when that happens, at the end of the year, you should be able to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm going pro. I want to get paid. And get paid. And that way it takes the school out of it, because the school is like forcing you to be there. Okay, and it takes the individual out of it if he's good enough to be a pro. Because if you're not good enough to be a pro, why should you get paid when you're getting this scholarship? And look, I'm the type of guy that has the issue with it, because it took me like 9 years to pay my freaking college and tuition off. Okay, and don't get me wrong, I benefited from it, but so are these kids, and it should be like on a year basis. That way, you're not holding these kids back. If they want to be pro, be pro. I mean, I'm going to say I'm dead right, but I've been saying it in my head a couple of times, and it sure feels right. Y'all have a go and take care. We'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, D. We appreciate the phone call, and he brings up good points. But, you know, I know the one biggest thing and with trying to get kids to go to college, and D brought up the point. If you're getting an education, that's worth something. A lot of kids are in debt trying to pay off their school loans, and it takes them 9-10 years to pay that off. That's a value. Unfortunately, we all realize that if you play sports, they a lot of times don't make you go to class, and you're not getting that education, so you're letting that opportunity go by the wayside. Look, there was a guy by the name of John Walsh who was a quarterback at BYU. His grandfather was the legendary Bill Walsh, who, before Bill Belichick, was known as the best coach in the NFL. Brought the San Francisco 49ers to multiple Super Bowl championships and basically was the creator of the West Coast offense. John Walsh was a junior at BYU, and he talked to his grandfather, Bill Walsh, who had since retired from the San Francisco 49ers, and Bill Walsh advised them to come out in the draft because he would be a first-round draft pick. So John Walsh entered the draft, got an agent, went through the entire draft, and was not drafted. And his football career came to an end. His dad was one of the most respected people in the NFL and missed that badly. And not his dad, his grandfather. His grandfather missed that badly on where he would go. So these kids get bad advice from agents. And a lot of times the schools are trying to, and the NCAA is trying to keep these kids in school to work on their education to protect themselves from themselves and not make mistakes and come out and end their career. I think the NCAA can do things about allowing kids to become re-eligible for the NCAA if they declare for the draft and they don't get drafted. I think that would be good in order to allow those kids a chance to get back to college to further their career and maybe take another shot at it. I'm up against a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jake Madison, talk more about the Pels' huge win over the Atlanta Hawks, 133-109 yesterday. We want to thank Avenue Wine and Spirits, our new sponsor of the third hour of the Sports Hangover. That's the big, they're your rare home, your home. Take two. Let's do that again. Your home for the rarest wines and spirits in New Orleans area, 2025 St. Charles Avenue. They have free delivery for orders over $20. All you have to do is give them a call, 504-522-3864. They've got one of the best selections of wines and spirits in the area. It's Avenue Wines and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles. Quick break. When we come back, Jake Madison's going to join us on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
I'm Marla Abel. I've spent my entire career as an attorney in Lafourche Parish, representing private businesses, school districts, police officers, individuals, and even children. And now I'm running to be your next Lafourche Parish District Court judge. Our community deserves a judge who has the integrity to uphold the law and make tough decisions. And I am prepared to be that judge. I humbly ask that this Saturday, October 12th, you vote for me, Marla Abel, for Lafourche Parish District Judge. Paid for by Marla Abel for Judge Campaign Committee.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Edery Favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations, so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
What's the Call? Associated Pump and Supply, with 30 years plus of dewatering experience. Our staff will size up your job and solve your drainage issues in no time. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs. Call Associated Pump and Supply, 985-851-7077, or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I know it's only one game, and I know it was preseason, but the Pelicans 133-109 winners over the Atlanta Hawks, one of the up-and-coming teams in the Eastern Conference. They've got some good young talent on that team, but the Pelicans, the depth took over in the second quarter, and they hung a 46 spot on the Atlanta Hawks. And we welcome in Jake Madison now, the host of Locked On Pels, to talk about the game yesterday. Jake, I know a lot of people saying that Zion Williams might not translate to the NBA. I think mission was accomplished last night, huh?
Yeah, certainly you saw he is going to be a very good NBA player. Why he was the number one overall pick, immediately getting into the action. He scored the Pelicans' first 5 points. They used him in a variety of different ways to get him kind of running downhill towards the rim and just do what he does best, which is dunk over people. And you saw it a lot, but he had a pretty good game for a guy who is having kind of the expectations knocked down a level or two by the Pelicans organization. He kind of lived up to everything and more, and should make Pelicans fans really excited about the upcoming year.
You know, Jake, I've been driving the Drew Holiday bandwagon for quite some time. I've always said he's the most underrated player in the NBA all around because he's one of the best all around players. If you had to, if I told you right now, Jake Madison, pick one guy out of the NBA to that has to guard James Harden and shut him down for a playoff win, Kawhi Leonard would probably be number one, and Drew Holiday would be right there number two.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Kawhi's still probably the premier defender in the NBA just because he's a little bit taller, plays a different position. So he kind of has a, you know, just the size a little bit more so than Drew Holiday does. But Holiday's not scared to guard bigger guys, too. You've seen him guard one through four successfully. He's guarded centers at times, too. He shut Kevin Durant down before, who's one of the better scorers in the league as well. So we all know what he's capable of doing. And he's a two-way guard that is going to give you, you know, great defense. And you saw him hounding Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks last night, putting in a couple of possessions in the third quarter, which really shut down the runner-up on the Rookie of the Year voting last year and a future All-Star in the league. He then did it on offense, too, where he was able to go out and just get buckets. He led the team in scoring last night with 21 points. His three-point shot looked a little bit more consistent, which I think is really big for him. He's able just to kind of go out and play that two-guard spot more so now that you have Lonzo Ball in the backcourt with him, freeing him up to just kind of be an effective scorer, which unfortunately he wasn't able to do as much as he would have liked last year with injuries to Elfrid Payton, Tim Frazier not really being such a great point guard for the team. So now he kind of slides back to his more natural role. I think you're going to be in store for a really big year from Drew Holiday.
You know, one of the things, Jake, that jumped out at me watching that game last night was outside of Derek Favors, just about, they played 14 guys last night, and just about every one of those guys could handle the ball on the break. This is basically the team that Alvin Gentry's been waiting to coach. They're so athletic, they're so fast, they're so deep. I mean, you almost don't even need an outlet pass. Whoever grabs the rebound, just start the break.
Yeah, and that's what they're looking to do, and that's the Alvin Gentry style of offense, that trenching ball system that he wants to be running. You saw a little bit of it at the open practice. They do drills on this all the time on how to start fast breaks in transition. But it's basically whoever gets the defense, either push the ball off the board, either get into a half-court set very quick, nice shot within 10 seconds or so, or get in transition, get that fast break where you have a man advantage and score some easy buckets that way. You have Zion Williamson who can do it. Nicolo Melli is capable of doing it. Lonzo Ball is a very good rebounder at the point guard position, so that just makes it natural for him to start fast break. But it's whoever gets the ball just goes. They don't look around to make a pass and slow their offense down. It's get up, push the pace, get in transition, run, and that's what this team did last night. It's what they're going to do all year long.
Hey, Jake, it's Jordan. Can you just kind of talk about Nikhil Alexander-Walker just coming in off the bench. His confidence on the court with his shot and going to the paint, just what does that do for this team?
Yeah, you know, there's for the most part, the rotation's really stepped, but there's a positional battle that still has doesn't have a winner just yet, and that's that backup point guard position, and it's likely going to be between Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Frank Jackson. Frank Jackson's kind of the incumbent, the established guy on the team. He's more of a scorer than a distributor, but there's a need for that on this roster. But Nikhil Alexander, being the rookie, is coming in trying to take those minutes from Frank Jackson and prove that he is a solid rotation piece for this Pelicans team. And he kind of showed it last night. Didn't play in the first half at all. Came in the third quarter and immediately started getting buckets. He's a lights-out three-point shooter. We saw it in college. He's very confident to go out and rip a three when he feels he's got a little bit of space with that quick shot. Did so last night. He can break down a defense by driving and getting to the rim. His passing wasn't as good as you would have liked to have seen, but it's the first preseason game. We can cut him a little bit of slack. And if he can get that and kind of create for others and get them the ball in those situations, he's a guy who's going to have a role this season the entirety of the year.
We're talking to Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pels. And Jake, one of the things I noticed, J.J. Redick didn't start yesterday, and then kind of thinking about it, watching the game, I said, you know what? Maybe that's Alvin Gentry's approach. Because this team is so young, would he like to have J.J. Redick coming off the bench when Drew Holiday goes to the bench just to have that veteran leadership, or do you think J.J. ends up in the starting lineup eventually?
You know, he might be in the starting lineup here and there and kind of spot starts, but I think you're going to see Brandon Ingram play the small forward position, the three for the Pelicans. He had kind of a quiet first half, but really lit it up in the third quarter where he scored 11 of his 19 points. The offense kind of revolved around him. took him a little bit to feel kind of comfortable in there in the first half. He was playing a lot of isolation ball to take long contested twos. Really not what you want to see from him and this roster in general. But once he settled down, kind of got into the rhythm, the flow of the offense, he really started to show you that he's athletic, that he can get to the rim. He was 2 of 4 from deep, so shooting 50% there. He just showed you why he's thought of as a very good scorer in the league. And I think you'll see him getting those minutes at the three, at least with the starting lineup. Question is going to be who closes a tight, close game when you have all of your best guys on the court. Is it going to be J.J. Redick? Is it going to be Brandon Ingram? I don't know if we have an answer to that just yet, because Redick is the sharpshooter. He's basically automatic when you get him the ball. The more dynamic guy and the better defender is Brandon Ingram. This might mean maybe we see a slight bit of a reduction in a role for J.J. Redick as the season goes on.
If there was one thing that you could take away from last night that the Pelicans can improve on, for me, it was I think it was just handling the ball. I felt like a lot of the times they were going too fast, which is reasonable because of how the pace that the Pelicans want to play throughout the season. But if there was one thing to you that you would want to see the Pelicans clean up on, what would it be?
You know, it's tough to nitpick like that in the first preseason game, but defensively, they weren't great on their rotation. The initial defense, the guy on the ball, whether it was Drew Holiday, Zion, Lonzo, all did a very good job of trying to press the point of attack. But once the pass got made, you saw them scrambling a little bit, trying to run around, figure out who they're supposed to cover, who's the guy that's supposed to rotate over, who's the tag help defender, and whatnot. And so that wasn't as crisp as you would like. You know, they're bringing in a new, basically, defensive coordinator in Jeff Fizdelic to kind of handle that side of the ball. They've only had, you know, 4, 5, 6 practices together, so not very many as they institute this new defensive scheme and system. Last year, they switched on everything. Here, they're going to fight through screens, go above, go under, depending on the guy that they're playing. So it's a very different model than what they did last year. You can see they are all not on the same page just yet. Hopefully, that gets fixed as they go through the next 4 preseason games, because they've got a rough stretch to start the year, and you're going to need to be sound defensively. And this offense is also predicated on getting stops. You can't get out and transition and run unless you force a miss and grab a defensive board. So if they're having to inbound the ball after a lot of opponent makes, it hurts that offense too. So defensively, I think they still have a ways to go.
Jake, you had mentioned earlier that you thought Alexander Walker and Frank Jackson would be battling for the backup point guard position. Do you think there's a role for Josh Hart, or would they maybe move him to the two?
You know, I think he's going to kind of play everywhere on the wing and fill a lot of holes that need be. He's a guy with a pretty good 3-point shot. He's an adequate enough defender at a couple of different positions, so that versatility, I think, is really important when you find someone who's in foul trouble. And maybe it's at the three, maybe it's in a really small ball lineup, where he plays some of the four, maybe it is at the two guard, and he can handle the ball well enough to keep the offense flowing. His role's kind of a big question mark right now. You know, this is a good problem to have if you're Alvin Gentry, where you've got a lot of depth on the roster. It's tough to try and figure out who to play and who's going to get minutes over other guys. Josh Hart right now kind of seems like he might be the odd man out, which is a bit disappointing given that he's become a fan favorite, you know, in his short time here in New Orleans. But he's certainly going to be playing. It just might be an undefined role on a nightly basis. It just kind of depends on the flow of the game, how things are going, who's in foul trouble, if there's an injury and he needs to step in. But his versatility allows him to kind of just be ready at a moment's notice to fill whatever it is the Pelicans need. And it's not bad having a guy like that on the bench.
You know, Jake, just looking at the job that David Griffin has done with this team, everybody thought it was a disaster when Anthony Davis was demanding a trade. Now looking at this team at the depth of it, and what most people are forgetting, the Pelicans are sitting on multiple number one draft picks next year. There's no room on this roster for 3 more players. You got to believe that the Pelicans are going to package those number ones and move up and try to get a player in the lottery. You know, I know we haven't even started this year. I keep thinking about which shape we're going to be in next year when you bring this roster back and add probably maybe a top 7 player to this roster. This team is starting to be scary.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, they could use those assets that they have, and there's a multitude of them. 5 first-round picks from the Los Angeles Lakers. They have a very highly protected first-round pick from the Cavaliers in the upcoming NBA draft that they're likely not going to get, plus their own future first-round pick and all of their future first-round picks going forward. We've never seen draft capital like this with this roster and this franchise before. So it makes the future even more exciting on top of all of the young guys that they have, whether that's trading up to get another bona fide superstar in the early lottery for maybe moving some of those picks for an established NBA guy when this team feels they're ready to truly be a contender in the Western Conference, which is probably coming sooner than we all anticipated in the wake of Anthony Davis leaving. You know, they could go any number of ways, which is what's kind of exciting about this team, is you don't know what's coming just yet. We kind of see the play on the court, but there still could be a lot of retooling this roster, a lot of improving this roster, and all of a sudden you might see the Pelicans in the thick of playoff contention in just a year or two because of all of those future draft picks that they have.
Yeah, but you remember, Jake, we're not a basketball town. Nobody's interested in basketball if you listen to the national media.
I think that might have gotten put to bed a little bit at the open practice the team had on Saturday, where it was 10-plus thousand people just to come for an hour-long scrimmage within the team, which was a lot of fun. You saw some excitement there. Look, the Zion hype is real. There has never been interest in this franchise like there, you know, before like there is now. I'm excited for it. I think the rest of the city's excited for it, too.
Yeah, look, we were at Vinny's not too long ago, and the Saints were in training camp before the season started, and I took the headsets off, and at one of the breaks, and a guy came up to me and he said, "Man, are you going to talk Pelicans?" And I looked at Gus and I said, "When was the last time anybody asked us to talk Pelicans during Saints in training camp?" I said, "Never." He said, "Thank you very much." It's like, it's unbelievable that people, you know, are talking basketball right in the middle of the Saints, LSU, Tulane, having, you know, the best all-around football year ever in the city.
Yeah, and it goes to show you, you know, if you build a team the right way, if you get a lot of views, then something that fans can get behind also helps to get a transcendent guy who's just really likable in Zion Williamson. People will show up. You put a good product out there, which Pelicans haven't always done. People definitely pay attention. They sold a total of 12,000 season tickets so far, the most they've had in something like 10 years, which is very impressive. Smoothie King Center is going to be rocking all year long, and hopefully the Pelicans live up to this hype, and they should be in somewhat of playoff contention as the year goes on.
Well, Jake, we appreciate your time, man. I know you're busy because the phone's probably ringing off the hook with people asking you to do interviews. We appreciate you giving us 15 minutes of your time today. Thanks a lot, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Jake Madison with Locked On Pels. You can check out his podcast. Jake gives great information on the Pels, and man, this is just going to be an unbelievable season. You know, I know it's just one preseason game, but for them to go out there and be able to handle an up-and-coming team in the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, great win for the Pels. Quick break, and when we come back, Jordan and I will take you the rest of the way talking about the Pelicans game, about the Saints, anything you want to talk about, give us a call. We want to thank Avenue Wine and Spirits, home of the rarest wines and spirits in the New Orleans area, for sponsoring the Sports Hangover. 2025 St. Charles Avenue, free delivery for orders over $20. 504-522-3864. They even have 18-year-old Japanese whiskeys like Yamasaki. They sell wine by the glass. Check out their cigar room. They've got a hot deli. Give them a call. Go by and see the unbelievable selections that they have. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue. Quick break. We'll be right back on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Ram Power Days event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on a Ram today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Hey, this is Damon.
Just 2 years ago, Damon Baudon was yet again on the campaign trail. The longtime Democrat tried to deceive us all by switching parties just prior to the 2017 election.
I'm a Republican now, so I'm not Democrat anymore.
We didn't fall for it then, and we won't fall for it now.
I'm a Republican now, so I'm not Democrat anymore.
Make the right choice this Saturday, October 12th. Vote for the true conservative. Number 58, Big Mike Fazey Sr. for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazey Sr.
Avenue
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Isn't it time to get your vehicle serviced, or maybe you need new tires? TJ Shell Station, doing business as Carroll Shell in the heart of Lockport, is the place to go. Carroll was in business for 26 years, and TJ Shell Station took over in 2014, which is 5 great years they've been in business so far. TJ Shell Station would like to thank their customers. So for fuel, tires, propane, alignments, brakes, oil changes, and more, it's TJ Shell Station in Lockport.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Don't forget Game 4 to Houston Astros versus the Tampa Bay Rays today at 4:30. Tampa Bay trying to stave off elimination. Astros trying to advance to meet the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. 5:30 on ESPN 100.3 FM. You can hear that game live. Jordan, Joey, hate to do this to you, but the Monday Night Football game last night, the Cleveland
Browns. And that's all the time we have.
I'm glad the Pelicans were playing last night.
Wow. Cleveland just got absolutely annihilated 31-3 by the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't know what's wrong with the sound, guys.
Yeah, I got the feeling Joey's going to pull a plug on us so they we can't discuss this. But now all of a sudden, Joey, looking at an article on the national media, your guy, Freddie Kitchens, the coach of the Cleveland Browns, has moved into the number two spot as the coaches on the hot seat that could be, well, they basically call him tier one, dead man walking. Of course, I know this is kind of funny for Saints fans. Falcons coach Dan Quinn, no surprise, is the number one candidate for the first guy to be fired. But Browns coach Freddie Kitchens has moved into the number two spot, which is no surprise to me because watching that game last night, I just saw a bunch of players, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, even Baker Mayfield. I saw guys that just looked disinterested like they could care less. And usually when that happens, it's not far that the coach is going to get fired. Did you pick up the same thing watching that game?
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, especially with all the hype that was around the Cleveland Browns.
Well, everybody was talking about them going to the Super Bowl.
So, I mean, I that is very disappointing for the team to have to go through losing this many games when everyone was talking about them reaching the Super Bowl.
I mean, at least number three is Adam Gase, who just comes over to the Jets, and I know they've been horrible, but at least you can say Sam Darnold's been out. He's been out since, I want to say, week two, and they've been going with actually their third-string quarterback, Luke Falk. And so at least you can give him that benefit of the doubt. He's supposed to get Sam Darnold back this week for the Jets, but Baker Mayfield is their guy. Matt Ryan is the Atlanta Falcons guy. Maybe not for much longer, but those two coaches at the top of that list, that's, you really haven't been decimated with injuries. I know a lot of people all of us thought Atlanta was going to be a playoff team this year. You know, getting Deion Jones back, LSU Tiger, who was hurt last year, missed all of it with an injury. They were decimated with injuries. I know they lost Kenu Neal again this year, their starting safety. They lost him last year. That was a tough break for them. But for the most part, they were healthy. Julio Jones, he was going to be the guy, and he was held in check last week. Calvin Ridley was supposed to be the answer because now they finally have another receiver. You always had Mohamed Sanu. They've got the receiving core. They've got the running back in Devontae Freeman, but they cannot win a game. That defense is just atrocious.
There's only one thing I can do, guys.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Joey, what you going to do with your Cleveland Browns, man? You can't make a standby forever.
And with the next pick in the draft, that's what we're fighting for, number one.
You know, everybody said that, Joey, though, that they should have taken, and the guy who's hated down here is Greg Williams. You know, but he was responsible for that Cleveland defense last year, and a lot of people said he should have gotten that job. But they went with a guy who'd never had a head coaching job before, and Greg Williams, and Freddie Kitchens, and now these guys are paying for it. Joey, did you see that you thought the team maybe quit last night?
It looked like, I don't know, they were deflated by halftime. I mean, I'm not trying to take up for him. But, you know, I went from playoffs to
new quarterback.
If we're 8-8, good luck. I'm looking at 6-10, possibly tops now. I'm serious.
So are we adding Mayfield on the long list of the quarterbacks in the
journeyman past? Quarterback?
Yeah, journeyman quarterback.
The Ryan Leaf of the AFC North.
You think the Browns will go after another quarterback? You think?
Yes, they will.
You think the Browns fans have given up already on Baker?
Oh, yeah. We give our time limit, our patience is 10 minutes. I'm serious. How many quarterbacks has Cleveland going through since Bernie Kosar? Just off the top of your head.
I couldn't even name them all. I mean, 12. Tim Couch 12. Was supposed to be the answer. It's been 12.
12. That's not counting the ones that just showed up in camp and they were taken out like the Cleveland Indians. He don't belong here.
Like I said, the Cleveland Browns have been on the couch ever since they had couch in the playoffs.
Well, that's the worst part is you had two of them who were number one picks overall in the draft in Tim Couch and now Baker Mayfield, and you've blown that, what it's looking like twice. Because look, hey, there were a lot of people who were saying, you know, Baker Mayfield, the Saints need to move up and get Baker Mayfield. And think how that would have worked out for the Saints had they used a draft pick in the first round and traded up to go get Baker Mayfield the way he's looking right now. I thought I was a little concerned with his arrogance, you know, talking bad about Daniel Jones from the Giants. I thought he was going to have a little bit of a down year, never dreaming it was going to spiral out of control like this. A lot of people talking Browns were going to make the Super Bowl. I thought that was kind of a stretch, but I still thought they were going to be a playoff team, and especially with Pittsburgh getting, especially after Ben Roethlisberger went down, it looked like the door was wide open for Cleveland. So, you know, hey, I thought they would be a little bit better. Josh is from Cleveland, Joe?
No, Josh is for Cleveland. Josh, go ahead. The floor is yours, Josh.
Josh, go ahead, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. I think everyone's a prisoner of the moment. I think Baker Mayfield hasn't even started an entire season in his career yet.
Thank you.
I think he's 7-5 in his career.
Thank you.
I think he doesn't have an offensive line. I think he's got a great running back. I think we should all, like, hit the brakes. Prisoner of the moment here. I mean, I understand they're not performing well. The dude hasn't even started more than, I think, 12 to 13 games in his career, and y'all are throwing him under the bus. Kind of crazy. But I will say the hype was crazy. I will say that being in a division with the Steelers and the Bengals makes it a little bit easier. I would be a little bit more uplifting with the team. Now I'm going to switch gears. I have a question for Jordan real quick. I'm going to hang up. I just want to listen. I understand Joe Burrow is getting all this attention. Can you explain to me why LSU hasn't played a defense ranked in the top 100 yet this entire season? I just want to hear your opinion on that. And I understand the stats that he's putting up might put these teams in that ranking, but none of the defenses he has faced has been a top 100 defense in NCAA Division I. I'd like an explanation. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I can't really give you an explanation because I'm not the guy that puts both teams together. So, I mean, that for one, I don't know how I would explain that to you, but just from what he's done throughout the year, I mean, you looked at it from past years, LSU's been a run-heavy offense, and now this year you actually have a quarterback that can throw the ball, and he's putting up the same stats that Alabama's quarterback's doing, and he's in contention for a Heisman Trophy.
I know Texas isn't a top, you know, a top defense in the nation, but it's still a big name team that he put it up against. Look, the Heisman is definitely going to come down to who can do it in the big moments. That Alabama LSU game is going to be huge, and for Jalen Hurts, the Oklahoma Texas game, because that's a good comparison of Jalen Hurts against the same defense that Joe Burrow went up against. Who has the better game there? Those two games right there could decide the Heisman. Up against the break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the Sports Hangover. Don't forget Houston Astros, Game 4 versus the Tampa Bay Rays right here at 5:30 today on ESPN 100.3 FM. That game will be live. Quick break, and Jordan and I will wrap up the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans, the flagship station for your New Orleans Pelicans.
I'm Marla Abel. I've spent my entire career as an attorney in Lafourche Parish, representing private businesses, school districts, police officers, individuals, and even children. And now I'm running to be your next Lafourche Parish District Court judge. Our community deserves a judge who has the integrity to uphold the law and make tough decisions. And I am prepared to be that judge. I humbly ask that this Saturday, October 12th, you vote for me, Marla Abel, for Lafourche Parish District Judge. Paid for by Marla Abel for Judge Campaign Committee.
On October 18th, POV Magazine and the Settlement at Live Oak in Thibodaux are throwing the ultimate family-friendly tailgate to benefit the Bayou Country Children's Museum. The local vendor pop-up market will have food and boutique stocked to get you game day ready. Enjoy live music by DJ Rhett and Big Mike Fazy with Stellar Media, and come find me, Casey Gisler, in the ESPN Radio Game Zone for the best tailgating games. So mark your calendars for Friday, October 18th at 6 p.m. for the POV pop-up Thibodaux tailgate at the Settlement at Live Oak. For more information, visit povpopup.com.
Mom, I think this doll I found in the attic is cursed.
No, its eyes are just very lifelike.
Then why does its head keep spinning?
Be my friend forever.
Oh, that is scary.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on Geico's easy-to-use mobile app. You can manage your Geico policy whenever, wherever, wherever.
Let's play with another doll. Or we can just bury it deep in the ground.
Happy Geico-ing. Download the industry-leading Geico app today.
Join us on Saturdays from 10 to noon for the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair for the latest in high school, college, and professional sports from your local sports experts. That's the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair on Saturday from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 100.3.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Final segment of the Sports Hangover, and tomorrow you and Gus will be live at El Paso Restaurant in Raceland, 4560 Highway 1. So if you're in the area, stop on by, have some lunch. They've got some good Mexican food. Number nine, what's the number nine, Joey?
It's tamale enchilada with the rice, the beans, and the guacamole.
Ooh, that's
awesome.
Good.
Awesome. And
I'm not
very
a guacamole
good price.
Fan, but I could go with the rest of it. Yeah, not a guacamole guy, but I'll go with the rest.
It's awesome.
I'm definitely looking forward to getting a meal tomorrow.
Yeah, because I don't feed you.
Yeah. You with Gus.
Yeah, I am with Gus tomorrow, so that might be a problem.
So you guys at Airwolf tomorrow. Thursday, as always, we're at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake in Metairie. Come on by and see us there. And Friday, we're going to be at 511 by Carl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. It's a busy week, and next Tuesday, we're working on one. We've got a phone call we're going to go to real quick. West Bank, Randy, how you doing today, man?
Going on, man. Hey, man, I heard that last caller. He asked a dumb question. Explain why LSU hasn't played a top 100 defense, I think it was, he asked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't control who we play. You know, Joe Burrow just played who's in front of him. Is he supposed to look bad, you know, against, you know, bad defenses, I guess, is, you know, what he's getting at? Or, you know.
Look, I understand people want to criticize LSU and the SEC teams for playing some easier teams in, you know, pre-conference. But when you're staring down the barrel of Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Alabama, Florida, you can't go out there and schedule more than a game like Texas. You can't play Texas and then go play Nebraska and then go play Oregon and then walk into that schedule. You're going to have some easy game to get some freshmen going. And I get it. Joe Burrow's put up some big stats, but, you know, that's part of being in the SEC. You can't play 12 ridiculous games. No one can stand up to that. You're trying to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say this. You know, you saw State. I mean, you know, they wasn't, you know, Chuck Liver. I mean, that was a good team last year and you know, put up 600 yards of offense. You know, 600, that's unheard of. And that's what I say about the Heisman. I'm not handing Joe Burrow the Heisman, you know, right now, and I'm not, you know, expecting anybody to. We all know that the Heisman is going to be won against, can he beat out of Alabama? Can he beat Auburn? Can he beat a game like this, Florida, Texas A&M? If he does that, it's his. But, you know, I'm not handing him the Heisman right now. But, I mean, you know, for even a quarterback that plays at LSU to be in the running for a Heisman Trophy is spectacular, given the offense that we've had in the last decade.
But would you agree with me that he should be at least right now be one of the guys that's invited to New York?
I think he is the Heisman winner if they were to hand it out right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think if they beat Alabama, I think he wins it.
I think that's what it's going to come down to. But I also think that Alabama has to, you know, Tua has to have a good season. He can't fall off. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So as in, if we go beat Alabama and Tua has a great season as well, I think that would put, you know, Joe Burrow over Tua, that, you know, we had the head-to-head, you know, matchup in Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, good phone call. We appreciate the call. Make sure you call back because we love having discussions like this on the air. Thanks a lot for listening and giving us a call. Jordan, hard to believe 3 days have gone by. You and I together, tag team partners, back with your old tag team partner tomorrow.
It feels like a breakup.
Feels like a breakup. Well, I mean,
but it's not an Anthony Davis.
But you should be on top of the world. You won your fantasy game, man.
I did win my fantasy game, and you know what? I am on top. I am grateful for that.
Breaking up with me doesn't interfere with that. I mean, that can't overpower your unbelievable win by leaving Will Fuller on the bench.
I'm just glad that someone recognizes my game.
Your awesomeness, the professor of awesomeness. You need to tell Gus tomorrow that you're now called the professor of awesomeness and see how that goes over.
Oh God, he's just
and don't forget D's phone call. Every time Gus says right, you have to say, D, go ahead and drink.
And not give Gus any
context. Don't give him any inclination of what you're talking about. Don't give him any context. I can't believe 3 hours have flown by this quick. Remember, the Pelicans, you can listen to the Pelicans versus the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday right here on ESPN 100.3. Matt Moscona is going to be next. And, of course, the Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays will be on at 5:30 today, Game 4. The Astros trying to eliminate Tampa Bay so they can move on to the championship series to meet the Yankees. That's a huge game right here on ESPN 100.3 FM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all of the phone calls out there. Jordan, in case I don't see you before this weekend, I'm going to go ahead and wish you good luck on your fantasy team. Make sure you tell Gus how dominant you've been tomorrow when you're back with him.
I will make sure to give him all my awesomeness on the radio.
Make sure you tell him you're now the professor of awesomeness. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Of course, the hour number 3 sponsored by Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles. If you're in the area, go check them out. Thanks to all of the callers. Thanks to all of our guests who joined us today. Have a great day. Go Pelicans. First game in the books, 133-109 win. This is the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans. Have a great day, everybody.
I'm rolling along, rolling along. Don't want any million. I'm getting my share. I've only got one suit, just one, that's all I can wear. a bundle of money. Don't make me feel gay, a sweet little...